Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, time now for that Market View on your money. And we have with us Mr. Yip Jun Rong, market strategist from IG, a leading contract for difference platform. Hello, Jun Rong.
Hi, good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Okay, if we've got, it depends on who you are, right? If you've got money tied up in the markets, you know, it might not be such a great morning. If you're a bargain hunter, it might be the start of a good day. Okay, what do you think of how the market is trading this morning? It's a touch down after closing up last night.
Yes, so overnight we see some initial market gains which were trying to follow through from last Friday's bullish move. Those were eventually paired back throughout the trading session, you know, with all three major indices eventually closing in the red. So that could provide some kind of a mixed momentum for the Asia trading session today as well. So we are seeing that even though both top and bottom line outperformance from a major US bank's earnings such as Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, those has aided to underpin an initial rally. But, you know, warnings of a hiring slowdown from Apple seems to be the attention-grabbing theme and kind of brought back some caution of a further economic downturn. And coming from one of the world's largest companies, this downbeat guidance definitely fuels some form of a growth risk ahead. So that cloud of uncertainty will always be there, especially if we were to get the advanced estimate of the second quarter US GDP next week. So for now, I believe with the negative overnight performance, I think overall, the S&P has not managed to push out a new higher high and seems to trade within a zone of kind of an indecision. So the tussle between buyers and sellers are still ongoing, with one to watch for any greater control of sentiments on either side.
Okay, let's have a look now, because the markets have only just started really trading. Let's have a look at now what's happening in terms of the macroeconomic decisions made by central banks in the region. We saw that Bank Indonesia has sold 390 billion rupiah worth of government bond holdings in the secondary market in its effort to try and mop up the excess liquidity in the financial system, to try and, you know, manage inflation. Why has the Bank of Indonesia not really gone down the route of many central banks, which is to tighten the monetary policy?
Yes, so for the Bank of Indonesia, previously, I mean, they have been able to put on a slower pace in the tightening just because inflation still falls within their target of between 2.4%. But recently, we have seen its latest June's inflation figure coming in way towering above its target range. So it actually came in at 4.35%. So there are definitely increasing pressure for the central bank to take on a rate hike ahead moving forward. And this is especially so, as you know, we know the Fed kind of lead the world in its aggressive tightening measures. And there will be an increasing need for Indonesia to try to stem this imported inflation from a weak rupiah currency. So while a rate hike could kick in eventually, I believe the pace of increase for Indonesia may be more gradual, as their inflation are not seeing those, you know, out of hand surges, such as in the case of the US. So potentially a modest 25 basis point may be in place to just, you know, help provide additional support for the Indonesia rupiah in the near term.
Okay. So the Indonesian central bank doesn't think it's necessary yet to whip out the big gun of, you know, adjusting the interest rate. Okay. Now, the other country that we want to look at would be China, right? Its central bank actually injected an additional liquidity of 12 billion yuan via its seven-day reverse repurchase agreement at cost of 2.1% into the financial system for the first time, actually, since June. What's the rationale behind China's injection?
Yes, so the liquidity injection definitely highlights some growing risk. And we know that, you know, China continues to struggle with these intermittent virus cases popping up across its region. And also some confidence in its property sector is kind of taking a hit on mortgage payment boycott issue recently. So this liquidity injection could mark an ongoing step for policy support. In line with authorities, you know, recently encouraging banks to extend loans to these qualified real estate projects to try to revive some confidence in this property sector. But overall, how significant it will have an impact, I believe, definitely still remains to be seen, because I think liquidity conditions seem ample at current point in time. So it could be the additional showing of support that the Chinese authorities are still closely monitoring the economic risk and they are ready to step in with more easing if needed.
Okay, okay. And now if we zoom in even further, let's look at a particular company that I think has so far been, you know, on a fairly positive sort of growth path, right? I mean, we've seen the tech sector being under quite a lot of pressure, but that's mostly on crypto side. But then now we are hearing that Apple is the latest major tech company to rein in hiring and spending plans, limiting their expenditures and job growth, right, at some of its divisions. And actually, this is kind of in line with the approach of, you know, the other, you know, big brothers in tech, Amazon.com, Alphabet's Google and Microsoft. What are your thoughts on the move? Do you think that it actually cements the idea of a recession in the coming months? Or is it just being extra conservative, you think?
Yes, so for Apple, we are seeing some guidance of a slowdown in hiring. Even though this hiring slowdown has come from many companies thus far, which included Goldman Sachs yesterday. Mm. With the downbeat guidance, you know, coming from one of the world's largest company, that could seem to carry some weight and bring about a greater realization for markets of a broader growth slowdown ahead. And thus far, if you look at the inversion of the 10-year and 2-year treasury spread, it still remains intact. So largely, market watchers are looking towards that as a reflection of a recession risk ahead. And of course, if you move into the upcoming tech earnings season, I believe that current resilience in consumer spending and also accumulated savings could still drive some earnings outperformance for this quarter. Uh-huh. But market attention will definitely be focused on the outlook as well. Mm. So we may see more and more tech companies having a more cautious take on expansion plans and also hiring plans. Mm. So any downbeat mood around macroeconomic conditions, that could still continue to be a key overhang for a risk sentiment ahead.
Mm. You mentioned some tech outperformers. Are there any in your books that you think are almost a sure outperformer?
Generally, I believe that I'll lean towards those big tech companies because, you know, their products tends to be stickier. Mm. And even if we were to see, a demand downturn, generally, you know, the impact towards those kind of products are kind of limited. So some of the sectors that I'm talking about could be in terms of the cloud computing. So we are still seeing the digital transformation kind of still taking place. So even with an economic downturn, I believe spending towards that area could be reduced, but eventually there will still be some form of spending towards there. Mm-hmm. So some companies could be Microsoft and also Amazon. Mm.
Yes, I was just about to mention that, you know, these companies are probably a lot more in a sense, strategically shrewd in how they manage the companies, and they are perhaps, you know, being more far-sighted in how they decide to navigate the company through any possible headwinds coming in the future. So, okay, what else is on your radar for today?
So for today, mainly a few economic events to look out for. Namely, I believe that some attention could fall on Brent crude prices coming after the lack of a concrete resolution in terms of boosting oil supplies after U.S. President Joe Biden visit to Saudi Arabia. Mm. So for oil prices, we've seen a close to 25% retracement from its June peak, but there was some deep buying actually seen last Thursday, which has found some bullish follow-through into this week as well. So I believe along with the uncertainty surrounding the reopening of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline this Thursday, that kind of also injects some potential risk of a wider energy shortage crisis if gas supplies were halted. So oil prices will definitely be one to watch. I believe a further upside could leave the 106.3 level on watch next. Mm. And this is where I see just on a technical front, upper channel trendline resistance seems to stand in place.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Mr. Yip Jin Rong, for spending another morning with us, shining a light on how we could proceed in terms of how we play around with our assets in the stock market. Thank you so much, Jin Rong.
Thank you, Melissa.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.